Welcome to Trend Arena, the exclusive podcast created in collaboration with StepsBridge. What is it, Trend Arena? It's an open forum where anyone who wants to share knowledge, information, insights, or trends about the automotive and automotive aftermarket industry can join and talk with us. As in a real arena, the talk will be moderated by StepsBridge, a boutique consulting company represented by experienced professionals from our industry. But let's go to the topic of today. We will travel with StepsBridge from Europe to China and from China to Europe to understand the gap between these two markets in terms of technology and parts availability, but also how European market landscape is reshaping due to new regulations and carbon emission restrictions. What are the opportunities of business between Europe and China? And most important, what are the threats? So I would like to welcome StepsBridge partners today with me, Eric, Horst, and Bart. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Hello. Hello.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining me. As a first thing to do today with you guys, I would like you to introduce yourself. So I will start from Eric.
I'm Eric. I'm 30 years in the automotive industry, specialized in aftermarket, playing over Europe different roles in spare parts manufacturing, but also distribution. I'm located in France in Lille area, in the heart of the Gigafactory Valley.
Thank you. Thank you, Eric. Horst?
Yeah. Thank you. So my name is Horst Zang. I'm a StepsBridge associate in Germany, based in Munich. I'm working for more than 28 years within the automotive industry, always for international companies and mainly with Asian-based companies. I'm specialized in sales and marketing, but also in business development, and I'm honored to be part of this podcast.
Thank you so much for joining. And finally, Bart. Welcome.
Hello, Luna. Hello. Thanks for having me. My name is Bart Timmermans. I'm a StepsBridge partner since earlier this year. I'm based in the Netherlands, and I'm specialized in the independent aftermarket and also battery manufacturing.
Thank you. Thank you for joining. And Bart, actually, I would like to start with you. So we are talking about CO2 reduction, about environment, about the new regulations in Europe. So what does that mean for the European automotive industry?
Well, I think starting with a high-level perspective, the automotive industry wants to maintain control over its most important asset, which has always been the internal combustion engine. But that picture is changing quite a lot today. So The internal combustion engine gets replaced by electrical engines, by hydrogen powertrains, or maybe something else in the future. And this is actually posing a big challenge for the European automotive industry, because the market for those powertrains, and more specifically the electrical ones, is dominated by Chinese manufacturers. And just to give you a little bit of a picture, and I think to give a bit of context for the podcast we have today, more than 90% of this market is dominated by Asian manufacturers. Half of it is Chinese, a quarter is Korean, and then there are a few Japanese manufacturers as well of battery packs for electrical vehicles. And this is a market which is expected to grow massively because of the regulations, as you correctly mentioned before, but also under pressure of the environment and the trends that you see everywhere of moving to different kinds of mobility, so to say. What you also see is that in Europe, we have not reached the tipping point when it comes to pricing of new vehicles. So in China, what you see is that the price of a new vehicle, electrical, is more or less the same as the ones which have the internal combustion engine. And that is actually driving the change in China, and Europe is lagging behind quite a lot. It's still more expensive to buy an electrical vehicle, which means it needs to be subsidized by the government, or different incentives need to be in place for driving electric. And I think that's one of the challenges that we will see in the short term for the European aftermarket, both OE as well as aftermarket.
Yeah, it seems there's a big threat coming from China to Europe when we talk about technology, pricing, but also on the battery manufacturing. and the industry is struggling to get the first place in Europe. And talking about that, Eric, how do you see that?
Well, I think there is an important point to consider is about the raw material availability. And if we remain in the same idea about sustainable and circular economy, which is in the heart of the topic, the EU has already established some rules about battery raw material usage. Fixing already a minimum percentage of recycled raw material means cobalt, lithium and nickel for the technology which are on the way today, coming from used battery. The first level is in 2030 already, and the second level immediately after 5 years in 2035. So as an example, the recycled cobalt minimum at 12% for 2030 and 20% for 2035 coming from the recycled battery. The expected end of life for electric vehicle batteries in EU is expected from 4 kilotons in 2022 to 215 kilotons in 2030, 50 times more potential recycled material then.
Well, yeah, that's actually very interesting. And I'm wondering how this will affect the car manufacturing ecosystem. And therefore, Horst, as you are very well connected as to the Chinese automakers, can you maybe give us some more information about the position of the European manufacturers versus those coming from China?
Yeah, for sure. Things have changed completely in the past. Nearly all the cars have been developed in the EU or in the US, and then China just have built them. Nowadays, China is already in a position, let's say, to lead new developments and innovations, especially in the battery technology and EV cars. The time to market in China is around 3 times quicker than in Europe. The electric vehicle market, digital data usage, and smart solutions are driving these innovations. In addition, the culture of the OEMs is totally different. In China's car manufacturers, taking much more risk and launch innovation into the market. The Western OEMs, the innovation horizon is usually 5 to 7 years. In China, this process is cut to 1 to 2 years. Yeah. As an example, Chinese OEMs introduced already LFP batteries and will move to solid-state batteries within the next 2 years. In China, the OEM don't build in innovations first, only in premium platforms, and scale them down afterwards. Every innovation is built in the car whenever the innovation is available. China's car manufacturer wants to give the end user always the best and innovative solution. Meanwhile, the European OEMs have realized that the new Chinese car armada will jeopardize their business. But I personally don't believe that the European oil tanker behavior can be adapted to the new velocity in the automotive industry.
Wow, that's a provocation.
Yeah.
So we speak about technology, innovation, digital data usage. So that's what we heard from you, Horst. So what will Europe do to bridge this gap with China, Eric?
Well, there is, in fact, it's a global consideration. It's not only Europe or Asia or USA. As an example, the Inflation Reduction Act, the famous IRA from Joe Biden administration, has already driven Northvolt, as an example, which is a European player, to reconsider the next gigafactory location, initially was supposed to be in Germany, towards USA. So that means if Europe wants to play an important role, you see, Europe has to act as a whole and not each individual country to support the billions of euros needed for investments to catch up with all the ASEAN Manufacturing Act. That's very important for Europe.
Mm-hmm. And so you talk about relocation and gigafactory. So what else? Like something about research and development, because we talk a lot about technology. And what's the position here?
Yeah, this means a lot because the European automotive industry must reshape everything. As Bart said, I mean, the IC was really, the combustion engine was really in the house of the European technology for the car manufacturers, the DNA. But now the R&D is much more a challenge around software than anything else. Stellantis has just made an agreement with Foxconn. Renault, with the new Ampere company dedicated to electric vehicles, has made an agreement with Qualcomm. Volkswagen with AWS, Amazon Web Services. So the new challenge is not anymore around the powertrain, is really around the electronics, is really around the service to the consumer. So this electric engine and battery packs will replace the engine. And the point is that they are outsourced of their current manufacturing plants. See, they are made through joint ventures company. So various local initiatives are going on in Europe. More than 40 battery production plants are foreseen. 3 gigafactories are planned in France, in the battery valley of the region Hauts-de-France, in the north of France. 4 gigafactories in Germany with capacity above 4 gigawatts. UK, Spain, Italy, Hungary are also in the race and have also such plan. But the next challenge is already there. Next technology, such as potentially solid cells, will drive Europe to be less and less dependent from current Asian technology based on lithium ion, cobalt, and nickel. That's really the technology, the next technology for better service, less charging duration, and more capacity on the road is the next challenge. But there is also about aftermarket some consideration, because expectations are that the cars will be kept longer, eventually more than 15 years, we'll have more mileage, then we'll be aged with much more than today, having several hundred and thousands of kilometers on the dashboard, driving then a sustainable repair market for cars being on the road today with ICE. That this market is not to be forgotten. It will stay remain for 10 or 15 years and maybe even more. On the other hand, GPI is telling us that there will be 39% less maintenance cost. That's a big number on the electric vehicles compared to ICE or hybrid vehicles. So this will drive significant change. As an example, less brake pads, but more tires as a rough example. So complete new change on the aftermarket, but still a lot of opportunities.
Yeah, and if I'm not wrong, already in Europe, we have a car park which is already much older than the Chinese one. So,
That's right. But there are also new changes. Yeah. So by 2025, there will be up to 800,000 Chinese built cars will be sold across Europe, which is quite a high number. So most of them will be fully electric. All of them also need maintenance, yeah? And the EU aftermarket and repair shops only need to be fast enough to collaborate with these new brands. I think that's a big chance for them as well.
I think the common denominator, whether we talk about aftermarket or OE business, is change. And I think the automotive industry has never experienced a change this big as we see it right now. Because it's basically hitting all the different segments, it's hitting all the different disciplines, whether you're a car manufacturer, whether you're a dealership, or whether you're an independent repair shop. But change also gives new opportunities. If you're willing to look at the change and look at the opportunities that it's offering, I'm pretty sure that you can survive also this wave of changes or this revolution, because I think in many aspects it's a revolution that we see right now.
It is. To sum up, I would like to just recap what we said. There's a need for Europe to become less dependent from the Asian market, and this need is translated into the investment in new battery production facilities. There's new Chinese car manufacturers entering our market. And also this fact that I was very interested by, but it's the aftermarket and OE channel that will get closer to each other. So there will be a new ecosystem in that case. And also the EU wants to create a more balanced ecosystem, depending indeed less from Asia. So at the end, we understand that there's no time to rest for the European market, and that actually the threat of the Chinese presence is as well an opportunity to grow, to develop and embrace new technologies and models. And so actually there's a big opportunity for the European market to evolve, not only to adapt, but to really bring something new to the driver at the end of the process.
One comment, very important. This is a complete, since more than 100 years, we had the model with the ICE and the very well-known model with factories, usual factories, engines, combustion engines, etc. This is a complete new world. And the big challenge for Europe is to catch up timing against the ASEAN and catch up also in terms of volume of investments. The full Europe, the full governments, you have in France, as an example, the France 2013 plan, which is investing billion in the mobility and giving the opportunity to pure European companies to install and try to catch up the new technology to be more independent. That's really the challenge for the automotive industry for tomorrow.
Yeah, but I think also there is a like the situation as it is today in terms of economic and political situation is not helping as well. Because I was reading this morning an article about the Italian market, and in which they said that, for instance, in Italy, the secondhand cars are sold more than new ones because they are not immediately available. So people prefer to buy used rather than new, because otherwise they have to wait too long. So I think like we have to look also at the big picture. And of course, there's an investment to do and there's a timing issue, but also the situation today at a global level is not helping the European market.
No, that's true. Right. And what you see, Luna, here is we all see this on the back of, let's say, the COVID pandemic, the situation in Ukraine, which is affecting Europe more than the rest of the world. And on top of that comes this revolution, as Eric just explained as well. So there's a lot to swallow, especially for European markets and manufacturers.
Definitely.
Yeah, but from my point of view, I think I also want to add one comment. Yeah. So the European automotive industry should not underestimate, let's say, how fast the Chinese OEMs are moving. So there will be a big movement, let's say, from an exporting market, European market, into an importing European market quite soon.
Yeah. So Eric, Horst and Marth, thank you so much. And I hope to talk to you soon in a second episode talking about another market and another challenge.
Thank you very much, Luna.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.